Well, first of all, I just want to thank you all for having us today, and just want to tell you thank you very much for sharing your pastor with us up in Indiana, because every time him and Melissa come up, we're just so blessed by them, and every time they come up, the Lord is in it, and we've seen some things happen, and we're just so thankful that they get to come up, and we look forward to it every year, and I'm glad to finally get down to come up on top of the mountain and worship with y'all. And just glad to be here. As Kevin said, I do work for True Purpose Ministries. We are a year-long discipleship program. We just take men who've struggled in life with primarily drug and alcohol addictions, and we just introduce them to Jesus Christ, because we know once they find Jesus Christ, drugs and alcohol can't live in there any longer. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's nothing kind of new scheme or nothing we got to come up with, 12 steps or whatever. Those things are all fine, but Jesus Christ breaks chains and sets people free, and that's what we show them there. We just try to teach them their identity in Jesus, and that they're called to be sons of God. And whenever I first got involved with True Purpose, I was attracted to that name right off the bat, True Purpose Ministries, because, you know, when I was in a 20-year-long addiction to drug and alcohol, I didn't know I had a purpose in life. This world seemed pointless. It's kind of why I got high and drank, because I just didn't know why I was here. But now that I know what my purpose and plan is, I'll never go back to that old way. The scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You get a taste of Jesus, man, everything changes. So we're just glad that you brought us here today, and we just appreciate your prayers. And we have four campuses, three here in Tennessee, Sweetwater, Maryville, Knoxville, and then we just opened up the Warsaw, Indiana campus about a little over a year ago. And so we're growing, and we're just trying to help men find that relationship with Christ. So we appreciate it if you keep us in your prayers. And just thanks for having us today.
Always good to see. Roll your Bible over to John chapter 9, verse 1. We got a lot going on this evening, but praise God, we ain't got so much going on that we don't let the Lord move. Amen. If we ever get so busy that we can't take time for God, we got too busy. Amen. Are y'all ready for a word? Anybody tired in here this morning? Praise God. If you are, just lean on the Lord. Amen. John chapter 9, verse 1. And Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This is John chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, said, Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. And night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Verse 8, that's what we're going to take up here in a minute. But I want to share with you, Jesus came by. Or is there anybody in here that Jesus came by your life? Is there anybody in here that got saved? Is there anybody in here that's spiritually blind, but when Jesus came by, He opened up your eyes? And you've seen things a whole lot differently than you've ever seen them before. Amen. This man was sitting in total darkness his whole life. He was an adult man. He had never knew light, but light was coming by. Amen. He never knew light, but light was coming by. Jesus used a metaphor, and he said, I can only do my work in the day that I'm here as long as the light is in the world. Listen, it's work. Really cool, because that man was sitting in pure darkness and pure light was just right on the outside. But I like this. When Jesus walked by, he did not see a theological question. Never mind. He didn't see. Sometimes as ministers, ministries, churches, and church people, we look at people as theological questions, not people. First thing his disciples said, who sinned, his mama or him? Jesus said, this ain't about who sinned. This is about me working in his life. See, sometimes we look at people and we want to figure out what's wrong. What's wrong was the same thing that was wrong with us. God don't see theological problems. He sees people. And until you see people, you won't see what God's doing. You know who asked him that? his disciples, his apostles. Sometimes it's hard to kick old religious habits out, even for us spiritual ones. We still like to hold legalistic ideas. We still like to think like we did before we got saved. Remember when we thought we knew who God was? Then we got saved and we still think we know some stuff that we really didn't know? We'll get into that in a little bit, but he's looking at them and he's thinking, y'all ain't seeing people. See, I don't see just broken people. I see just people. I love people, man. Ministry is a people business. If you can't stand people, if you're always mad at people, if you're always looking down on people, you're not in ministry. I don't know what you're in. It's weird. Man, it's just weird. Jesus looks at people and he says, man, I love people. And he's trying to teach his disciples. There's some things happening. He's teaching some people. He's healing some people. He's doing something. And it's a powerful thing. Amen. I love when he walks by. And he says, why is this done? Because the works I'm going to do in him. See, when God sees you, he does not see you in your mess. He does not see you for how you see you. He doesn't see the label on your life. Drug addict, prostitute, liar, businessman, farmer, teacher, preacher, pastor. He doesn't see the labels. He sees a person. We're the ones who see people as labels. God doesn't. He sees his purpose in you. First, his first purpose is to save you, eternally save you, place you in the kingdom of God. Second purpose is to get glory out of your life. Do you know this? I'm preaching. Do you know this? God will get glory out of your life one way or another. He'll either get it through your obedience and your sacrifice and saying, God, I'll serve you, or he'll get his glory out of your life by judging you. Nobody preaches on that anymore. It's 2018. It's not cool to preach about the judgment of God. But it doesn't make it non-effect. Amen? It does not make it non-effect. God wants to use you. He will beg. Praise God. I wish I had some real people in here who said, man, how many times has God begged you? How many times has God pursued you? How many times has God came after you when you knew you were in a bad spot? I can remember every single time God came after me before I got saved. He used little kids. He used adults. He used preachers. He used teachers. And sometimes he just used, hey, just my circumstances. Has God ever used your circumstances? Have you ever been laying flat on your back and the only way you could look is look up? God will use your circumstances. When he's used everybody else, he'll use your circumstances. I was thinking about this man, blind man on the side of the road. I wonder how many ways he had been hurt in his life. You know, when you're blind and you're weak, people take advantage of you. When you can't see spiritually or you can't see physically, people hurt you. And if you're not careful, you'll let all that hurt rob you from surrendering to God. But this man didn't. He came by right on time. In verse 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which were before seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this the beggar that sat and begged? Can I go back? I'm going to go back. I don't want to rush this. Jesus does one of the coolest things in the Bible I've ever seen in my life. If y'all ever read this scripture, you know, when they asked, he said, this man was born blind. I have a sneaking suspicion that the man had no eyes. Oh, never mind. That went over well. The reason I say that is because if a man was just blind, why would you say that he was blind from birth? You would just say he's blind. But for some reason, his eyes were not developed or something, because people could automatically say he does not have eyes. He must have been born that way. Jesus stops and does something amazing. He bends over and... did he do that? He spits in the dirt. Jesus spits? I'm glad there ain't a lot of toddlers in here, because some of these little young boys in here are going like this. Every mama in here is going, you better not. You better not. Amen? You better not. Jesus spat. He got some dirt and he spat in it and he made a salve. But think about this. You know what he's doing right here? He's saying, I'm God. Because you know who made us from the dust? God. You know what he's saying? I'm kind of giving y'all a glimpse of who I am. I can make body parts out of dirt and spit. Two things that you would never make body parts out of. Go to the hospital and ask them to fix something. They ain't gonna get a bunch of dirt out and start spitting in it. Because they didn't make the dirt and they didn't make the spit and they didn't make you. God did. But can you see him? He's sitting there and he's like, come back. He takes the time and he starts rubbing his eyes. Have you ever thought about the script? Why did Jesus heal people different every time he healed somebody? Because he don't fall in love with the process. Fall in love with the one who did the process. If we're not careful, we become the first church of spittle and dirt. Amen? And now all we do is we every time somebody comes into church, we put some dirt and spit on them. We're not in love with the process. We're in love with the man who did the process. That's why Jesus never did it the same way every time. He did it different where you would fall in love with him. That's why he saved Jude different. That's why he touched Jude different. That's why he saved Jude different. Where you don't fall in love with the process, you fall in love with the one who saves. Jesus loves you so much, don't he? Everybody else is trying to rush by and everybody else is trying to figure out what happened to you and why you made a mess and why you are a mess and why you can't. And Jesus says, I'm not worried about why you can't. The one who should be able to worry about why you can't, the one that should hold it against you, is not holding against you. He's fixing you. Can you see him yet? I'm a guy. I see stuff like a movie. He's making the dirt. And he's just filling in eyes. And then he says something amazing. Go wash in the pool of peace. Some of y'all need to wash in the pool of peace. Y'all got baptized in a pool of anger and frustration and bitterness. Amen? Mad about everything, upset about everything, tore up out of the frame about nothing. He didn't tell you to do that. He said, go get in the pool of Siloam, the pool of peace. Why do you think he told him to go? Because everything you do in God, if he touches you, if he heals you, if he saves you, takes a little bit of faith on your part. You have to have part in it. Woo! Jesus done all the saving, but you have the faith that he has the ability to save. You have to have part in it. He just touched his eyes and said, go finish that up over in the pool of Siloam. You know what he didn't do? I don't want to go to the pool of Siloam. Why don't you just do the whole thing? Well, I don't want to do that part. See, some of y'all have a problem with God because he wants to save you and he wants to change you, but you know what? You don't want to do the process. Some of y'all don't want to get involved in it. Some of you say you want saved. Some of you say you want God. Some of you say that you want to be a part of it. But praise God, I always wonder why God does that. What he asks some people, what do you want? I always blew me away. Blind people, deaf people, crippled, what do you want? I thought that was a dumb question. Well, they're blind. I know what they want. They're crippled. I know what they want. But you know what? Some people that's crippled, some people that's blind, some people that's lost, they really don't want to be saved. They want to get out of trouble. They want to get out of circumstance. They just want the problem to go away. They don't want the real root and the problem to go away, which is them. What do you want? God, I want to be whole. Well, what it takes to be whole is what I've done at Calvary, and what you're going to do is be obedient to that for the rest of your life. You mean you got to have obedience? Yes. Obedience to God. And you know what? When you get saved, you ain't got no problem with it. Oh, yeah. I lost you. Let's go. I lost you a little bit, but we'll get you back. Some said, this is he. I love this part, don't y'all? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? I always like this part because he's totally, I know it's because he's got eyes. But once you really get saved and really get changed, people ain't going to recognize you, baby. God, wait, can you say baby in church? I just did, didn't I? They ain't going to recognize you, man. Because you were that one. They got a preset notion of you. They understand where they seen you last. And they've been talking about you so much for so long. They got you identified and they got you pegged. That's who you are. So when you show up, and God's remade you and rechanged you, and you're not that person they've always said you are, it's hard for them to identify. They're still, God, come on. Hey, they're still talking about you. They just changed what they were saying. They ain't talking about how messed up you anymore. They're just talking about the way you're seeing different now. People are still going to talk about you. That's all right. People going to talk. People going to say, that's all right, man. It ain't going to bother me. It ain't going to bother you either. If God's touched you, just keep walking where He told you to walk. People going, is that the same guy? I don't know. It looks like him. Kind of different, though. Is that her? Man, the last thing I heard about her, she was going under. She was going to die. They wrote her off. Her family don't even want her. Why would God want her? Never mind. I'll keep digging in until you start worshiping a little bit. Some of y'all got stuffed into this place. I don't know how you got here. Amen? Ain't no accident. Preacher, be careful. You'll run some people off. If I can run you off, then praise God, God didn't bring you here. Verse 12. Then they said unto him, where is he? He said, oh, let's go back to verse 11. Can I do this before I do that? It's me. Never mind. Did y'all catch that? It looks like him, might not be him. Yeah, that's me. Last time you seen me, I was getting high. Last time you seen me, I was still in your car. Last time you seen me, I was breaking in your house. Last time you seen me, I was trying to hit on your wife. Last time you seen me, I was sitting on the side of the road begging. Last time you seen me, I was in that broke down, busted house. That last time you seen me, I'm that no good guy that you thought I was. That's me, but I'm different now. Never mind. Sometimes you just got to out yourself. That was me right there. Sorry. And they said to him, where is he? Let's go back to 11. I didn't read it. And he answered and he said, a man that is called Jesus. Go to verse 10. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? First time he gets to testify since he's been saved. Or, well, made whole, not saved. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received my sight. And they said unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I changed that last part of that version. I'm sorry. In the King James, it says, I know not. In Tennessee, we say, I don't know. I don't know where he went. They didn't you don't have to answer where Jesus is, what Jesus is doing, and get all theological. All you got to tell them is what happened. Do you know what happened? Do you have a story? Have you ever told anybody the story? He came by one day. I was blind as a bat. I couldn't see. I think he made some dirt, spittle, something. He did something. I heard. I couldn't. Some of we couldn't even see it. He did it so good we couldn't even see it, but we knew it happened, right? He did some stuff. Made some dirt, anointed my eyes, told me to go do something. I wasn't going to argue with him. My God, I feel like preaching. Because he was the first one that came along in a long time that actually put his hands on me. Everybody kept their distance. Everybody talked about me. Everybody was thinking something about me, but nobody wanted to touch me. Yeah, that's right. But he touched me. Oh, he touched me. He touched me. He put his hands up. God put his hands on me. That's what he did. Where is he at? I don't know. All I know is I can see better now. I'm seeing things a little different. And I'm already getting opportunities to tell. Even to people that might not even believe. Then the Pharisees brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime blind. Wouldn't you like to hear that again about yourself? The guy that used to be blind. The guy used to be high. The girl used to be that girl. Sorry. There ain't no girls in here like that. I'm sorry. So you fine ladies in here, I'm so sorry. None of y'all ever been accused of doing something wrong. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for bringing your name up. But sometimes it's so easy for me to preach about men and the problems that we have. We look over women and say, oh, they don't have no problems. But I'm telling you right now, there's a house full of women in here that's had problems. I'm not afraid to tread. Amen? Because it's easy for all the men here, well, you know, we always mess up. Hey, everybody in here is jacked up at one period of time. And it took Jesus. And you're not that girl no more. Wouldn't you like to hear that's the one? That's the one that used to have that reputation. But now she's got a reputation of hanging out with Jesus. She was blind before. She was high before. She was a she slept with everybody. She was easy. But she ain't so easy no more. I'm sorry. I will. What are you going to do? Get mad at me? She was, get anything you want. Now, not anymore, because she met Jesus. And guess what Jesus does when he comes into your life? He sets the standard a little bit higher. No, I'll preach. I ain't scared of you. Hey, he sets the bar a little bit higher. You know what he says? He said, I'm a daddy. So guess what? You're my girl now. Ain't nobody going to date you unless they come through your daddy. You might not have had a good daddy, but you got one now. And this daddy will stay up 365, 24/7, and ain't nobody coming in here to get you unless they talk to me first. I'll go ahead and preach, unless they bring a doubt. Y'all don't even know. Some of y'all said, diary? What are you talking about? Used to, before you get married to somebody, you had to bring a dowry. You had to bring something that was worth something to you to give to the father to marry the daughter. Some of you think that women are supposed to give it to you, give stuff to you. You're supposed to show how they're worth. You're supposed to bring something to them and say, you're worth more than 10 camels. You're worth more than 8 cows. You're more than worth than 20 sheep. When's the last time you told the woman that you love her and she's worth more to you than anything that you got? You're taking her for granted. She loved you when you was unlovable. Every day you come in and check your clothes and check your laundry and check your payment and check your house and you ain't told her in a long time, baby, you're worth something to me. Thinking about this last night. Everybody looks at me as the preacher and they think, man, he's the preacher, man. Oh, Melissa, she's probably pretty blessed to have a preacher in her house. That a man of God, he's anointed. But y'all don't know this. That woman, she saved me. Not salvation-wise. God saved me. But when she met me, I didn't have a place to live. I didn't have a house. And I had a broke-down, busted blue Escort, 1985 model. AFM, no cassette. We called it the Smurf. It's hard to be cool in a Smurf. But she went with me anyway. She saved me anyway. So when you look at her and you say, man, she's blessed. No, this guy's blessed. She showed me what unconditional love was before I even knew what love was. And then God showed me what salvation was. And then he taught me how to love her. That was a free part of this message. It didn't cost y'all anything. Wow. Are you glad you came to church now? And it was the Sabbath day. Let's go to verse 13. He said, they brought to the Pharisees him aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day. And when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes, then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he, that'd be Jesus, put clay on my eyes and washed, and I do see. And therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They're fighting amongst each other. All religious people, if you get around them long enough, they'll fight between each other and fight with everybody else. If they're always fighting with somebody, there's something wrong with them. Verse 17. And they said unto the blind man again, we sayest thou of him that he had opened thine eyes, and he said, he is a prophet. No, never mind, sorry. He's more theologically attuned than the theological people. Said, who is this guy? Oh, I believe he's a prophet. Because ain't nobody can do what he did to me unless he be one. Amen? But the Jews did not believe concerning him, and he had been blind, and he received his sight until they called the Pharisees, or the parents of him that had received his sight. Man, they called mom and daddy in. And they asked, has anybody ever called mom and daddy in on you? Sorry. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth now he see? And his parents answered him. They said, We know not that this was our son. We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. That means he's an adult. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Therefore the words spake ye the parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already, if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Don't be afraid when somebody threatens to put you out. Never. Some of the best thing that ever happened to you if somebody put you out. Never mind. And it tells me a long line. His problem was bigger than him just being blind. If your son, if you're a mother or a father, and your son was blind, you should have been shouting and running and saying Jesus touched him. But instead, they're worried about their position more than they're worried about what God did. Sorry, I just help you. Parents, we need to worry more about what God's doing than where we stand in our church or in our community or in our social standing. If God's touching your child, glorify God and thank Him for doing so. It's easy enough to say. A lot of times we're worried, oh man, maybe God's going to do something crazy. Well, good, let God do something crazy, because when He does that, it tends to stick a while. We're talking about people that God touched. We're not talking about any of the ones that God didn't touch. That's the Bible, friend. That's 2,000, 3,000, 6,000 years worth of, guess what? We're talking about the people that God radically touched, not the ones who didn't let Him touch them. Kind of reminds me of Orpah and Ruth. Anybody know who that story is? Do you know who Ruth is? Do you? Do you know? She's in the lineage of Christ. You know what? Do you know where Orpah is? Neither do I. That summed that up theologically. Amen? Verse 23. Therefore they said to his parents, He is of age, ask him. Verse 24, then they again called the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. I'm going to preach 2 points and I'm going to end right here. Y'all ready? Can y'all handle this? Check this out. Underline the words "we know" in that sentence, in that little verse. Then again called the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. We know. Right? Y'all got it? Hold on to that. Now listen to this, verse 25. And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. You know what he said? I don't know. Listen to this last part. One thing I know. That should rock your boat a little bit. One thing I know, that where I was blind, now see. I got 2 points and I'm going to be done, okay? I want you to hear this. Sometimes people who think they know everything know nothing. They got an answer for everything. They can tell you what to do, but they don't really know anything. Because listen to what they said. They had all their mufflers, wimplers, crisping pins. They had all their stones organized in the right thing. They went to church every day. They read the Quran. They read the scrolls every day. Isaiah, the prophets. They had Moses and all his writings. And they prayed so many times a day and made a big scene everywhere they went. But guess what? With all that, they say, We know, God, I'm preaching. We know that this Jesus, He's a sinner. Never mind. It's kind of weird, ain't it? Because God says He's my son and He's sinless. But all these religious people get together and all they want to do is wrestle around about the law, and all they can come up with is Jesus is a sinner. And this dude who's just known Jesus for about a day or two is so wise already. When you get with Jesus, you become wiser just by the day. I mean, it's expedient. You grow a lot faster than you do in the physical. He's sitting there and he goes like this. He goes, I don't know whether he be a sinner or not. I really don't know where he's at. But I do know one thing. Do you know this? Once I was sitting over and I had no eyes. The man made me a sit. And I've been seeing things differently. So I think that this is a man of God. Because I know one thing, listen, I don't know about y'all, but I know one thing about the devil. The devil will never give you a hand up or a hand out of trouble. Amen? See, the devil's not divided and neither is God. Only some people are. So he's not divided. See, the devil, if he gets you blind, he'll let you stay blind. But if it's God, see, God won't let you stay blind. He'll open up your spiritual eyes. The devil never will. Amen? That's why when I say this, I'm under conviction, but I believe it's under the devil. The devil don't convict of sin. He tells you to push it on down, hold on to it, and leave with it. Jesus said, let's get it washed out. Let's get it clean. Y'all ready for the last point? Can I tell you, this last point's going to tell you whether you're saved or not. It's going to be a real examination point. You're going to find out whether you're saved or not. And it's big. And it's all the way through this chapter. So go back and read this whole chapter, because I'm going to stop at this point because I believe it's important to stop right here. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask Scott to come get his guitar. And as soon as I get through saying this point, he's going to start playing a song of invitation. Do y'all know where this guy was when Jesus met him? He was blind his whole life. He sat in the darkness his whole life. Are y'all all right? That's true. He sat there in blindness his whole life, and he probably had some terrible stuff happen to him. Has anybody in here had some terrible stuff happen to you? But one thing I've noticed out of the 4 or 5 times that this man got to testify, do you know the only thing he talked about was, Jesus washed my eyes, cleansed me, sent me to the pool, and now I see. I want you to hear this. You know what he didn't say? When I was 5, I got hurt. When I was 6, I got hurt. And when I was 10, I got hurt again. And my parents really don't even love me. And my family, they've rejected me. And nobody helped me with money. And it was tough growing up. And there was times when I lost things because I'm blind. And when I lost them, people took them from me. I'm really preaching, but I hope you're hearing me. What I'm saying to you, I'm not telling you that things bad didn't happen to you. And I'm not telling you that you need to be like, oh, I'm just telling you this. Once God saved you, whatever road that you met Jesus on, you'll thank Him for that road. You'll thank Him for the blind road. You'll thank Him for the addicted road. You'll thank Him for the prostitute road. You'll thank Him for the troubled road. You'll thank Him for that place. I don't care if you're sick your whole life. I don't care if you lay outside the rich man's gate and beg your whole life. If you got saved, you'll thank God. I'm glad God drove me down that road that brought me to salvation, because I could have been whole. I could have been well. I could have done great. I could have had money. I could have had support. I could have had a good mama, a good daddy, a good family, and not got saved, then I'd have been a failure. Thank God He came by when He came by. And I'm glad He found me in the shape that He found me in. But I'm also glad He didn't leave me in the shape He found me in. Is there anybody here? You understand what I'm saying? If you're still talking about all the things that happened to you and all the things that you did, praise God, you're still out there. What you need to say is, guess what? Despite all of that, despite of me, despite of the things that happened to me, God saved me anyway. And I'm a resident of heaven. Even though I was molested, even though I was hurt, even though I was raped, even though I got on drugs, even though I was left alone all the time by my mom and dad, even though I don't know who my dad is, even though I don't know where my mom is, thank God I know Jesus today. And I can only talk to you about the things that happened when I met Him. Let's all stand. God spoke to your heart. Come. His altars are open. God needs to speak to you. Come, come, come. Don't wait. Are you still a victim?